5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than combining mashed potatoes and mashed sweet potatoes to get a BB-8 themed Thanksgiving dinner. Joining me tonight is Pat.
Wow.
Tabitha.
I'm sorry, I'm speechless.
And Lydia.
What? Where did you even get that
from?
How
did you think that up on the fly? What's wrong with your brain? What is that like in there?
I don't think we want to know.
I kind of do. I'm a little fascinated.
So, normally we discuss what this week's Geekier Than is, and this week I just decided to just do it on the fly, and...
Surprise!
Yeah.
I almost kind of want to see that now by the end of the month. Like,
if you don't build a BB-8 sculpture out of sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes, I will never forgive you.
Honestly, I don't even care if it's 3D. Like, I'll be okay with 2D.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like, he's not wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm also not that talented. I'll see what I can do.
It.
Yeah. Should I have... I was going to say, because it's got kind of like some black parts to him too, so like, I don't know if gravy would be part of that?
No, I feel like you're doing too much. Just
okay.
Just go white and orange.
Okay. Yeah, don't worry about that. Just...
All right. So, this episode is brought to you not by BB-8 Mashed Potatoes, but by LodgeCon. LodgeCon will be held February 9th and 10th at the Will County Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. Early registration is open now through the end of the month. Badge prices will increase December 1st. And as always, access to the vendor hall and seminar hall is free and open to the public. So, So we've got, like, everything happened this week, and we're going to try to talk about as much of it as we can. First thing I do want to talk about, though, is actually something that's going on locally. So the Hair of the Dog Barbershop is going to host a Bitcoin and Beer Night on Wednesday, November 14th at 7:30 p.m. You can learn how to set up a Bitcoin wallet as well as security measures. You can also talk about current market trends as well as any other questions you may have. If you're paying in Bitcoin or Litecoin, Hair of the Dog is offering dollar off beers, and they will also have 25% off crypto paper Bitcoin ATM fees. Hair of the Dog is located at 323 East Monroe Street in Springfield. So,
pretty cool.
It is. Especially for somebody like me who's like moderately interested in Bitcoin, but like I don't know the first thing about how to get started in Bitcoin.
Could be worthwhile.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to work that night and make
real money.
Real coin. Real coin. So.
My goodness.
Instead of e-coin.
Matt, let's start with you, and we've got a couple of like breaking stories that happened today, and let's talk about Watchmen for a second.
So we got a little bit more information on Watchmen, the HBO Watchmen series today. It had been reported before that Jeremy Irons was going to be part of the show. He was going to be playing, quote, an aging and imperious lord of a British manor. But it turns out that that lord of a British manor is actually going to be Adrian Veidt, who is Ozymandias.
See, I don't understand where they're coming from with this.
Nope.
They've been telling us for how long that, like, this is going to be basically Watchmen in name only. Like, you know, yeah. Like, and now, oh, hey, here's, like, one of the biggest characters of the original series is going to be in the new one. Like,
yeah.
They can't have it both ways, but they're trying
really hard. They are trying really hard.
That said, like... Based on the casting alone, though, like, not taking in the whole, I don't want to say absurdity of it, but just, like, it is a little bit. I mean, they're throwing us curveballs, which, I mean, it's to be expected. I mean, David Lindelof, he was a part of Lost, which would do that all the time. Same kind of thing with
Leftovers.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, like, I get it, but at the same time, it's just, like, so I don't know what else to expect, but the casting alone, I'm okay with.
You can't really go wrong with Jeremy Irons.
I mean, in that regard, yes. But I just
he's not Ozzy.
And like the end of this article that I found,
I just imagined Ozzy Osbourne
biting a head off a bat.
Wasn't it a dove? Did I make that up?
I might have done both, actually.
Who knows?
He got rabies shots for one of them.
That would probably be a bat.
I feel like a dove could carry rabies. I don't know.
Anyway, got way off topic. You were saying, Matt.
That was your fault.
It was.
The end of the article, like basically the last line of this article I found was essentially, does this make you more or less interested in watching this show? And I still don't have an answer for that. Like, I've been thinking about that since I saw this headline, and I'm like, I still don't know if I have any interest in this. Like, even with Jeremy Irons attached.
Yeah. It makes me go, huh, that's cool. But it doesn't make me, like, it doesn't psych me up at all.
And you maybe, you're not Jesse Spanoing about it? Like,
no.
Okay.
No. I'm definitely not scared. maybe it's one of those things that, like, as we get closer to, maybe I would, but like as of right now, it's like, all right,
yeah,
cool.
This trailer is really kind of gonna have to blow us away.
It's going to have to. Yeah,
yeah. If it looks like a bad B movie gone wrong, I'm gonna be so upset.
So would that make it then like a C movie,
like a B minus movie?
I mean, at least I'll have an A plus soundtrack.
I was gonna say a D movie, but that just
no. There are too many 12-year-olds in this room to say that.
Yeah, you find those online.
There it is.
Point proven.
Right. And you don't have to pay HBO for it.
And you might stumble across playthroughs of other games.
Right.
That's true. Oh my.
So.
My virgin ears. Okay. I see what we're playing back. We're all going to attack Tabitha. It's going to be a good time.
Wow. It just got real dark in here. So, Disney announced a bunch of stuff with their streaming service today. The biggest being that they have a name for it. Now it's Disney Plus, which I feel like they could have had a better name for that.
I mean, come on, Disney. Imagination, creativity. What are you doing?
Right. Anyway.
All their Imagineers are busy.
Very. Especially with coming up with a Rogue One prequel, which was also a prequel to Episode 4, which was... never mind.
That's too many prequels. And I don't even Star Wars.
Welcome to Star Wars.
I don't want to. Can I leave now?
No.
Damn.
So it will feature Cassian Andor, who will be played once again by Diego Luna. So, I'm cool with this. I walked out of Rogue One, upset that there was no chance for a Rogue 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I can get a Rogue 0.5, I'll take it.
As long as it's not like a Lion King 1.5 type deal.
That doesn't exist. We don't talk about Lion King 1.5, okay?
That sounds like a sore subject.
That sounds like it's in like the Dark Land where Simba's not supposed to go.
Shadowland.
I'm sorry. Shadowland. Wow. I can't watch The Lion King because it makes me cry.
I was about to ask why, and I was like, well, duh.
I'm not allowed to watch Lion King.
How far do you get into Lion King?
About 35 seconds. That's an approximation. It might be more like 22. But yeah.
But,
the credits come up and I just start crying. It's a good time for everyone.
Also with Disney Plus, they did confirm what we had speculated anyway, that Loki is getting his own series on the streaming service. It will also be played by Tom Hiddleston again, so.
Because no one else can play Loki now.
True.
It would be impossible.
Exactly. So.
True.
which, interestingly enough, like, I wonder what's going to happen there, like, because of what happened in Infinity War. So, like, where is this Loki series going to take place?
Yeah, what's our timeline?
I don't know. Like, okay, quick spoilers with Infinity War. Yeah, cover your ears, Lydia. Yeah, like, seriously, like, where is that going
to
be?
Are we getting, we can't have a prequel, because we've kind of already had a prequel to the prequel.
I mean, it's definitely before the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Right. Unless some magic happens. Also, you want to know what I've been thinking about?
That's where the magic happens.
Yes.
On Disney Plus.
I'm uncomfortable.
slightly off subject, but like this is something I've been thinking about for a couple weeks now, and now that we're talking about Infinity War, like, okay. So, So obviously, like, we kind of expect for pretty much everybody to come back, you know, in Avengers 4. But with this whole thing about, like, James Gunn and Guardians, like, how much do you want to bet that Gamora's death sticks now?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Like, especially, like, if we end up not getting a Guardians 3.
I didn't think about that.
Well, okay, that all happened, though, after most of the filming for the second half of this was done.
That's true. So maybe we already have enough
stuff. Maybe. Maybe. Or, I mean...
That was an interesting motion.
Or they could... I mean, because they're going to do reshoots. I'm just trying to ignore that whole thing happening. So they're obviously, you know, they're still going to do reshoots, because every movie does reshoots these days. Like, they may be like, hey, sorry, Zoe, but kind of want to pull at some heartstrings here for a second. We really want to make this woman named Tabitha from Springfield, Illinois cry. So.
Well, that's just insensitive.
I mean, anyway, that's a moment that I wanted to share.
Hmm.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Now I'm concerned.
Yeah. Who can't wait for Avengers 4? So that's
it. Face. Hey, as long as Peter Parker stays dead, we're good.
So, speaking of people being dead, Matt, I feel like a lot of people want some Blizzard execs to not be living anymore.
Yeah, there is a lot of blowback on this. Yeah, that was... Just going to ignore that, pretend it didn't happen. Basically, this all boils down to BlizzCon every year. In the opening ceremony, Blizzard has a quote-unquote huge announcement for whatever game they're developing, whatever they're working on. It's usually something that people have been clamoring for, they've wanted for a while. This year during the opening ceremony, they did announce a new game, but it is a Diablo. It's called Diablo Immortal. And it's going to be for mobile. So for your phone. Or for your tablet. Blizzard has never done anything mobile. It's always been PC or console. Even console is recent. Basically it's PC for them most of the way back. Not to say that they haven't done other stuff in the past as a company, but, you know, mostly PC. It just flat out pissed off a lot of people at BlizzCon, online, etc. Somebody even managed to get to the microphone during a Q&A early on at BlizzCon, and they asked some of the execs if this was just a poorly placed April Fool's joke.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, not happy about this at all. Which, some of their concerns are valid. They're worried that it's just going to be a reskin of another game. Now, it was developed with another company, so it wasn't just Blizzard that did this. And this other company has, like, a mobile RPG game for phones already. They are concerned that by doing this, Blizzard has become out of touch with their fan base, not seeing what they actually want, which is Diablo 4, not Diablo for your phone. Diablo Junior.
Diablo Go.
Diablo Plus, if you're Disney.
If you're Disney. So, I mean, I understand the concerns. I have always been a huge fan of Blizzard stuff.
It almost seems like a cop-out.
It does, but some of their logic and their reasoning behind it do make a lot of sense. Everybody has a phone. Like, everybody has a smartphone. Everybody that plays their games has a smartphone. So this gives them the opportunity, when they have to go out and do real-world things, you can still be sitting in line somewhere and playing a Diablo game instead of in front of your computer. Which I get. Me, personally, as a fan, I've looked through, like, Google Play for a number of years now, looking for something that is like Diablo that I can play on my phone when I am somewhere. I'm excited about this. I think this is going to be awesome. I'm all for it. But most people are not. I don't know. They're just, at this point, the fans are just hoping that maybe, you know, that the playthrough will change their minds.
Yeah.
That when they actually get a get hands on, that they'll be proven wrong, essentially.
Right.
So.
And like, and one thing that I noticed too, like, kind of going back to like their rationale or whatever, is that there is one exec that, you know, basically said like, hey, we've been around for a long time. We've put out games on multiple different platforms, and this is just another platform.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's 2018. I mean, it was coming eventually, probably, yeah, from them.
Well, I think one of the other things, too, is that the fans are upset with mobile just because mobile has a proclivity for microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the fear that this is going to have those as well, which is not Blizzard style, but it is mobile style.
Right.
So,
I do think it's smart that they had another company helping that has more experience with mobile games rather than just trying to jump in by themselves.
Yeah. I mean, they did say that it has been built from the ground up. Like, it is a whole new game. It's not a reskin, but I don't know. The tepid reactions at BlizzCon are saying otherwise.
Tepid? I mean, they got flat out booed.
That's true. I was trying to be
polite.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that here. It's okay.
That'd be a first. That's true.
Don't have to do that here. We're not a nice people.
No. So.
What are you talking about? I am a perfect little angel.
I mean, you're the nicest of us, that's for sure.
Yeah, that ain't saying a whole lot.
No.
I'm still no longer at the bottom of the shame bell list. I'm not at the bottom anymore.
Picket?
I think so.
Oh, dang.
That's the real reason why he's been taking some time.
Yeah, he didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
That jerk.
Yeah.
Cheater.
I think he should get shamed just for that.
Take away.
He still only has 3 shames.
Well, next time Pickett talks, like, on the show, I'm just going to shame everything
everybody he says.
Until he passes me?
Yes. No, probably not.
He's got a long way to go.
Yeah, the black hole kind of ruined your life a little bit. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. Just out of curiosity, like, do you all, like, if you all combined, are you still under me? Like,
I don't know. Matt's got
hold
a lot.
That thought. Yeah, Matt's about half of what you are, so.
Well, while you're looking that up.
I picked up my shame doll game this year.
While you're looking that up.
You've become more irritating.
I try.
So.
No.
No, you still got
you
us
still
by like.
You still by like 10. Yeah.
All right.
Cheers.
Cool.
Proud of you.
So, Andrew Lincoln last week had his final episode as Rick Grimes on The Walking Dead. I say final episode because, spoilers, so the character does live on, and, he's actually going to be in 3 AMC, like, made-for-AMC movies. That said, Andrew Lincoln did confirm that he will not be returning to the main series, which I don't buy that for a minute.
Mm-mm.
Granted, I don't watch The Walking Dead. I don't know how, you know, how often they, you know, they lie to their fans, but like most TV shows lie to their fans,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that when The Walking Dead, you know, finally wraps up, assuming Rick Grimes survives all 3 of these movies, you can't tell me that they're not going to, you know, jump on that chance to bring him back for, you know, at the end. They'd be silly not to.
Even if it's just like the grand finale.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, everything's cured. We're safe. Here's Rick.
Right. So.
Riding in on his horse.
Oh, no. Literally. He's a fan of that horse.
Is it a zombie now?
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That thing's dead.
So, something that I was kind of bringing up earlier this week, it was just like, I was just kind of not perplexed at the whole idea of the of their marketing for, you know, Rick's final episode.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and I get, like, we're in an age now where, like, as far as the actors themselves, like, they can't hide that they couldn't have hidden the fact that Andrew Lincoln was leaving The Walking Dead. They could not have done it. But did they have to advertise, like, the exact episode that Rick Grimes was leaving the show.
Well, yeah, they were trying to get their ratings up. Like, they were like, okay, well, everything else sucks. If maybe people at least watch this one if they know when it's going to happen. Yeah.
And we'll get to the ratings in a second, but, like, I don't know. I feel like that's the only reason why they did that, though, was for the ratings.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking back to other shows where, like, big characters have left, you know, like, you know, and the first one that came to my mind was, with Lost, like, you know, and they had, like, a lot of different, you know, character deaths, obviously. But there, you know, there was one, like, when Dominic Monaghan left, which, granted, like, that was in the season finale as well. Like, it was something that we all knew was happening. Mm. But I don't remember, you know, like, ABC explicitly saying, you know, this is Charlie's last episode. Like,
ratings.
Yeah.
They're tanking, and they know it.
Yeah.
They had to do something to bring it up, and that was the thing they could think of.
Yeah. Which also, interesting to have the, you know, the lead character of your show leave, not even in the middle of the season, but, like, still in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
You know? So that said, with, you know, with the ratings, they were up a little bit. They were up 6% from the last episode, which was part one of the whole thing.
Right.
It got an audience of 5.4 million and a 2.1 rating among adults 18 to 49. Not fantastic in terms of a ratings increase. Although for me, like, if I've already given up on a show, especially if it's like, if it's a show that has, you know, like more like one-off episodes, you know, like let's say back in like The Next Generation days, we learned that I had given up on the show, but then I learned that Captain Picard was leaving. Mm-hmm. I'd probably watch that episode.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily do that with The Walking Dead because
you wouldn't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
You'd have to watch everything up to that point that you hadn't seen.
Right.
And getting caught up on a show like The Walking Dead, where you just watch people walk for 400 years, is really exhausting.
But that said, you know, like, even though the ratings on paper weren't fantastic and weren't what they necessarily wanted, it's kind of going back to what we talked about with their season premiere, where the episode was available on the AMC premiere service hours beforehand. So how many of those people watched it then as opposed to potentially getting spoiled or whatever?
Because the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing that kind of intrigues me about this whole situation is that you, like, broadcast what his last episode was. And then, like, the next morning I saw right away on Facebook that they were doing, that he wasn't dead, that he was going to be in these three movies that are going to be on AMC, blah, blah, blah. So I text my brother-in-law, who is huge. Like, he still watches the show. I'm not quite caught up, but he watches every week. And he goes, yeah, they talked about it. Gimble. He's like, he talked about it on Talking Dead immediately after the episode. So, like, Rick is carted off, and immediately following, on the talk show following, they spill this new information. Like, that also seems kind of strange to me. Like, wouldn't you, I don't know, hang on to that? Like, play that card at a slightly different time to pull people back in? I don't know. It just,
yeah.
Like, why play it so soon?
Unless it was just a matter of, you know, we've already got this hype going, let's go ahead and
keep the ball rolling. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, we don't know how far in advance, you know, they are in terms of, you know, these movies. Obviously, they're not filming them yet.
Right.
But, you know, like, maybe
they're probably further along than we think they are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, and that's this whole thing to begin with has always been really strange to me. Like, when they announced that he was leaving the show, it seemed very sudden. Mm-hmm. You know? And it was just like, I was like, I feel like something's up. Didn't know it was going to be like this. But
right.
Anyway. So, moving on, Tabitha, let's talk about Shrek kinda, sorta, not really being rebooted, because it's not a reboot.
It's not a reboot. Hold on just a second. I'm not prepared for life today. Universal wants more Shrek, because evidently everybody wants more Shrek except the normal people. I don't want more Shrek. We've had enough Shrek. They're going to be reinvigorating the story of Puss in Boots, which we already knew, and we're going to be getting new stories. Comcast had bought DreamWorks, and to me, I think this is like a...
It's a money grab.
Yeah, like, it really is. So, I think that's probably what's going on here, because they did have such good luck with Despicable Me and The Secret Life of Pets. But we are still going to get the, like, Eddie Murphy, Michael Myers, Mike Myers.
He's going to come in and kill everything.
I would watch that Shrek.
Yep. Wow. That was... I mean, even I gotta admit, that was really bad.
Yeah. I'm done talking.
She hasn't even put it down yet.
I'm waiting to make sure you're not gonna say anything else before I put it down. Because picking it up makes me tired.
But, okay, so, like... You know, and I read in multiple different sources where they were talking about it being a reboot. It can't be a reboot if you have the same cast.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, you still got the same people doing the same thing. It's not a reboot. Like, it's just more. It's just additional.
Right. You know, have it be, like, a new story where you need minimal backstory. Okay, fine.
But it's still a continuation.
Right.
It's no matter how you turn that, it's still a continuation. But I mean, also, how are you going to reboot something like that and use different voices for different characters? Like, those voices are those characters. And it's like watching someone talk and then the wrong voice comes out. And you're just like,
who are you?
You feel weird about it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And it would be like, if they got a new cast, it would be, you know, whoever... as Mike Myers as Shrek.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But all I'm saying, if they do reboot it, and if they were to get, like, a new cast, they would have to get somebody to still cover All-Star.
Well, obviously.
So, like...
Is Smash Mouth still together? Or are they still a thing?
I don't even know.
I don't know. I'm sure in
between... Do you really want that on your Google search history?
I'm sure...
It's not really going to make any difference, honestly.
I'm sure in between episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, like they are.
Oh my god.
That's just because you mentioned Guy Fieri in my presence.
Guy Fieri is the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Just because they have the same hair does not mean they're the same person.
Have you ever seen them in the same room?
No. But if I... Oh god. Guy Fieri. It makes my skin crawl. I can't handle it. You've gotten two more tonight. What is wrong with you?
Makes your skin crawl to Flavor Town.
I'm just going to hold this.
I would just like to point out I had the phone pulled up to put another one
on. Nope, that one wasn't real. I'm sorry. That was accidental because I'm still holding the shame bell. I apologize.
Well, according to Wikipedia, that's still a thing. It says 1994 to present. I'm sorry.
Lord, 1994? That makes me feel old.
I didn't realize they were around almost as long as I have been around.
Yeah.
That's sad. And scary.
So.
Oh, God.
So, the,
You guys gonna come visit me in my home?
I feel like we'll be there with you.
I'll bring flowers, guys.
Thanks, Lydia.
So, so while,
You okay?
Are you sure? So, while Chris Melandry, who is, you know, putting together this, he's also doing, Super Mario Brothers.
He is doing Super Mario Brothers.
He's busy.
He is busy. And this is not just, this is not just a pipe dream. I debated it.
Why did
it was,
I even put this down?
But it was so worth it. I had
to. You guys make me tired.
The shame bell's getting heavy.
She needs to switch arms.
I'm not ambidextrous. I apologize.
She can only ring the bell with one hand.
Oh, Lydia. You should all just stop talking.
it's going to be a really quiet podcast.
Best part is we're only like halfway in.
Oh, Christ. I'm not going to make it.
A lot of dead air.
No, just dead us.
Just going to kill us with the shame bell. What's that sound? Can replace that with the shame bell.
You can get this back when I prove. When you can prove that you won't kill us.
I'm never gonna be able to prove that.
She's got a point.
Not even in a court of law.
So, they would ask her to swear on a Bible, and the Bible would turn into flames.
She's right.
Then she would shame the Bible.
Yes.
So Mario Brothers. This episode is getting awful.
So yes, he's trying to bring back Super Mario Brothers. I mean, he's not just trying; it's currently listed in priority development. He's hoping that they could be in theaters as soon as 2022.
2022.
Wow!
If I hadn't just sat that down.
She's not going to need the shame bell to kill you. That look will.
Yeah.
God. Don't make my face make that face, because I'm always going to get stuff like that one day.
Well, okay. So he's doing this. He's remaking Mario Brothers. He understands how god-awful the 1993 movie was. Like, you know, the fact that there are stories of Dennis Hopper and
John Leguizamo
taking shots between scenes because they just, that was the only way they could stomach doing this movie.
Seems accurate.
Right. Chris Meledandri is actually working with Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator and designer of Super Mario Brothers.
Miyamoto.
So he feels that is going to be like the saving grace to this thing. He's like, in 93, they didn't work with the creator for the movie. So he's going to be part of basically every part of the process from beginning to end. He was quoted as, Meledandri. God, a whole bunch of names I can't pronounce in this one. He was quoted as saying, the challenge here is going to be taking things that are so thin in their original form and finding depth that doesn't compromise what generations of fans love about Mario, but also feels organic to the iconography and can support a three-act structure. So, I mean, you know, Illumination, whether you love or hate the Minions, they do a good job with it. You know, Secret Life of Pets was good. It was funny. So if you're going to reboot this, I don't see this really being in bad hands with them. So especially if it seems like he definitely has respect for the original and the content and, you know, how to do this the right way.
If they make Goombas like Minions, though, I'm going to be very upset.
Oh, my God.
That'll be horrible.
That's just going to flip the other direction. You know that, right? Like, the Minions are just going to wear, like, the little mushroom hats like Goombas.
That's going to be the opening sequence to the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm less excited about it now. Overall, I'm excited about it, though.
Jumping on each other and red and blue, red and green, red and blue, what the hell? Red and green overalls.
Tabitha, let's start talking about Willy Wonka. Let's get away from this.
So, going from one not great thing to, in my opinion, another not great thing. according to Collider, the new Willy Wonka movie that we've heard about a couple of times is going to be a prequel.
But why?
That's a great question. no one knows. It's a prequel. Not a sequel. Heyman, the director, revealed when they were, I think, on tour for Crimes of Grindelwald in an interview. I'm quoting from the article here. What makes Willy? When we find him at the chocolate factory doing the golden ticket, where is he before that? What leads him to that place and where he's locked himself away? How does he get there? Part of that I like because you guys know, sucker for backstory. Like, you know, you want to know how he found the Oompa Loompas. You want to know how he got the chocolate factory, that kind of stuff. But like, the part of Willy Wonka that's so cool is that you don't know those things.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but they kind of tried to touch upon that stuff in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and it didn't
Verk very well.
It did not go well at all. Nah. That whole traveling and the cocoa beans and the monster and the whatever. Like,
your daddy's a dentist and I don't get chocolate.
Yeah, like, so I'm going to own a chocolate factory. Like, I hope they don't carry on with that story, mm-hmm. but, like, you don't get any backstory on Willy Wonka in the book. You don't get any backstory on Willy Wonka anywhere. Like, that's the appeal of Willy Wonka. Mm-hmm.
The mystery.
Why do we need a backstory about somebody that doesn't need a backstory?
Because we really don't have any new ideas, and this is the best we can come up with.
However, they have narrowed down the short list of actors being considered for the lead role to Donald Glover, Ryan Gosling, and Ezra Miller.
What? How do those three even end up in, like, the same pool?
I don't know. Like, you stand them all next to each other and you say, what do they have in common other than they're men? Like, they have, like...
Nothing.
What? Also, if it's not Ezra Miller, I will riot. Because he looks like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
But...
Like,
Ryan Gosling doesn't go here. Like, doesn't even go here.
One of these things just doesn't belong here.
And it's Ryan Gosling. Like, I love Ryan Gosling, and I could look at Ryan Gosling all day, but I don't want to look at Ryan Gosling playing Willy Wonka. That's not a thing I want to do. And Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, go away. Like, why? Like, those don't make sense. Like, usually when you have, like, a cast list, you have three, like, people that are similar in, like, acting skill and, like, availability and whatever, notoriety.
Style.
Yeah.
And appearance, even.
What? It's like an apple, and orange, and a grapefruit. Like, you know.
which one's which?
We cast the widest net possible, and this is what we came up with.
Right? Like, I don't know. I don't want this. The end.
Well, do you want Watership Down at all?
I do. I want this real bad. I know we've talked about it a couple of times that the book Watership Down is going to become a BBC series. They've actually released the BBC and Netflix are releasing, it's a CG animated version around Christmas, and we got some photos, and this looks incredible.
It does. I took a look at some of those photos, and yeah, it looks awesome.
This is going to destroy me. Like, I'm going to need, like, a week off work to mourn after I watch this. I mean, it's a hard story to read anyway, so it's going to be really intense. The only thing I don't like about what they have released so far about any of this information is they've gender flipped a bunch of the rabbits.
I mean, they're rabbits.
You're a rabbit. But, like...
You're cute and fluffy?
No. Like,
to it.
A Tommy Boy insult. I'm okay. So in the book, the, like, one of the main characters is grieving, and the reason she's grieving for, like, a lost loved one. They've made her a female instead of a male.
Okay.
They're, like, gender swapping some of the roles around, and I don't understand the purpose of something like that. Like, you're, like, not making a lot of sense to the storyline. But the images look beautiful. They look like they're staying as close to the story as possible other than this weird gender swapping thing. So, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm way more excited than I was.
I do like that they're also splitting it up, too.
Yeah, instead of, like, just one big... Yeah. I agree with you.
It's not going to be watered down.
Wow. He is on a roll.
I'm just going to stop talking and just shame Belle. I'm not going to use my voice. Just my shame bell. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll forgive you eventually.
It's going to take some time.
Also, I don't know if you read the full article, but I did think of you when I got to the end. It asked if you had high hops for this new adaptation. And I thought, did Mitch write this?
I sometimes go by Luke. So... Alright, so we're going to start gut reaction, and we're going to try and make this a speed round. Like,
you say that every time.
I know. And going to be speedier than normal. So we're going to start off, Dungeons & Dragons is expected to begin filming this upcoming summer with a release date of 2021. Director Chris McKay has been in negotiation for it. I'm going thumbs down on this one only because Chris McKay was also supposed to direct Nightwing, and so that if he's doing Dungeons & Dragons now, probably not doing Nightwing, and that probably means that Nightwing is not happening anymore. Lydia.
I am impartial. I don't care. I don't know what's going on. Thumb sideways. You're scaring me. Don't talk that fast.
Tabitha. Hey, you're making me nervous. I don't like it either. I'm going thumb sideways. I don't have a horse in this race at all.
Matt.
I am a big, huge geek. I played Dungeons & Dragons when I was a kid. I actually really enjoy that horrible movie from, I don't know, 15 years ago or whatever. So I'm going thumbs up because I'll go see this. It might be the only one, but I'll go see this.
Matt has a theater to himself. Always and wanted that. Three basement dollars.
Why does everything smell like Cheetos?
Tabitha, time machine.
You gotta give me some warning, Mitch. Oh, God, ow, that hurts. Okay. So, time machine. It director, Andy, somebody spell that, pronounce that last name for me.
Machete?
I think we decided it's Machete, right? Yeah. Is that what we decided? Okay. Sure. He's adapting H.G. Wells' Time Machine with Leonardo DiCaprio producing. Thumbs down. Go away. That's, I mean, we don't need this.
Matt.
H.G. Wells' Time Machine, it's a classic. Stop messing with things. Don't touch them. Thumbs down.
I'm giving this one a thumb sideways only because I don't know anything else about it other than it's happening. You know, like, once we get more details, mm-hmm. You know, are they gonna, like, make it present day or whatever?
Maybe then it'd be a thumb sideways for me. Yeah. Good point.
Lydia.
Same as what you just said. Thumb sideways.
Matt, let's talk Game of Thrones.
So, okay, last week, beginning of this week, our oh-so-amazing President Trump tweeted out a picture of himself with the date November 5th and the words "sanctions are coming" with in the Game of Thrones font. Game of Thrones or HBO was not initially aware of this. It was made known to them. Their official response was, "We were not aware of this messaging and would prefer our trademark not be misappropriated for political purposes." Then they also tweeted, which is absolutely awesome, how do you say trademark misuse in Dothraki? Which is fantastic response. The White House has not responded, but multiple cast members have also shown their discontent for the misuse of the font. I'm going thumbs down on the tweet. Thumbs up on the president's tweet. Thumbs down on the president's tweet. Thumbs up on HBO's response.
Can you figure out where your thumbs are?
Yeah. No, I don't. Too many thumbs.
Too many thumbs. I don't know where they're going.
You're all thumbs, dude. I'm off.
That's good.
But yeah, I mean, too soon. But yeah, definitely thumbs up on HBO's reaction and thumbs down on the tweet, on the initial tweet that started the whole thing. It's dumb. It's silly. Lydia.
Thumbs down the initial tweet. Thumbs up on the amazing reactions from HBO and cast members. That is awesome.
I wonder how you do say that in Dothraki.
Tabitha.
I mean, it's probably like Klingon.
I'm sure. I mean, there are people that speak it. I guess I could call my best friend George R. R. Martin and ask him. Thumbs down on the original tweet. Thumbs way up for HBO's reaction.
You don't want to call him. It's going to stop him from writing "and" today.
Oh, God. That's super true.
So
put that off till tomorrow.
So reportedly, Nintendo is in talks to develop a Legend of Zelda TV series produced by the same person who produced Castlevania. If you've ever heard my Legend of Zelda story, you'll know why I'm going thumbs down on this. Okay, so when I was a kid, I had this like really, really vivid nightmare involving Link. To the point where, like, I was scared of Legend of Zelda for years. I don't remember exactly what happened.
I was going to ask who's in your kitchen breaking jars, but...
Throwing chickens.
But by the time I got over the fear, I was way past the point of ever caring about Legend of Zelda anyway. So, yeah, so I don't care about this. Lydia.
Oh, my gosh. thumb sideways. I like Legends of Zelda, and I know several friends of mine do also, but I feel like I want a little more information about what they're going to do with it.
Tabitha.
I have no feelings one way or the other, but on your behalf, I will say thumbs down just to protect you from that fear.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I'm sorry, I'm going to be not siding with Tabitha and you on this one. I have not watched the Castlevania. I love the look of it. I know that it just got a third season. The idea of those people with their hands on The Legend of Zelda, I think would turn out pretty awesome, so I'm going to go thumbs up.
I just want to know what like storyline they're going to go with and stuff like that. Because there's a lot of timelines.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of links in that chain.
God, what's wrong with all of you?
Matt, let's talk the Purge. Or maybe not, because that might give Sam an idea.
Oh. Can we use this story, please?
So Tabitha legalized the Purge yesterday.
This is our last episode. We're all going to be dead tomorrow. Have a nice life.
I liked how that sounded a little too much.
Okay, well, 2 days ago, the final episode of the first season of the Purge TV show aired. I didn't even know this was a thing. But on the same day that aired, USA Networks announced that it was renewing the show for a second season. It is written and executive produced by the film franchise creator James DeMonaco and led by Jason Blum. They are using season 2 to dig deeper into the mythology of the Purge. The idea that there's even a mythology for this garbage is ridiculous. Thumbs down. We didn't even need a first season. It's crap.
Watch how you talk about my Purge.
I'm going thumbs sideways. I've never watched any of the movies, and like you said, I didn't even know that this was a series. But like, the idea of the Purge has kind of interested me. Like, I feel...
You should rephrase that.
Oh, good lord.
On paper, it's a decent idea. It's a decent idea.
Yeah. The show or like the actual Purge?
The show.
Clarify where we're going here.
Just checking.
Was this going to be Dark Mitch?
Not.
Trying to see if we were on the same page.
We're not bleeding into real life here. But
okay.
But yeah, so like, sure, thumbs sideways. Lydia.
Also thumb sideways. Again, I did not know that there was a TV series for this. And also, is mythology even the right word for what they're trying to talk about here? I don't feel like that's the right word.
The whole thing just...
Anyway, yeah.
So, Tabitha.
I did know the show was a thing. The people that live with me in my house watch this show. I do not, because... Like we said, Tabitha doesn't need any more ideas. I don't think that the movies needed to happen. From what I understand, the show is, like, bland at best, so I'm going thumbs down.
Lydia, let's talk Reptar bars.
Yeah, that's a switch. From killing people to candy bars, we talk about it all. So Reptar...
That's a weird tagline.
I was just thinking that.
You're welcome.
That was weird. I don't like that. Get out of my head. You don't belong in there.
So Reptar bars are coming back. Oh my gosh, guys.
Lydia, what do you have about the Reptar bars? Let's talk about that.
They're coming back. Apparently it was a 90s thing. I never saw these as a kid. But apparently they were a thing in the 90s. But they're coming back. They are going to be at FYE, which makes me sad. They are a 6-ounce Reptar bar that is a chocolate exterior with sort of with nuts and caramel and has green frosting to turn your tongue green once you get to the center of it. They also released an exclusive at FYE that is Reptar on Ice, which turns your tongue blue instead of green. But the bars are $14.99 a bar.
Whoa!
So, I love the idea of this, but I'm going thumbs down for a couple reasons. One, we don't have an FYE in the town or anywhere near here anymore, so I can't get one. Second of all, I'm not paying $15 for a candy bar.
Yeah. You had me at chocolate, you lost me at turning my tongue green or blue, and then you definitely lost me at the price, so thumbs down.
Matt.
Yeah, this just has a bad idea written all over it, so thumbs down.
I know that there was an FYE in Bloomington? Is that still open?
That was the closest one.
Okay.
We used to have one in White Oaks, but that's been years ago. Yeah.
I'm going thumb sideways. $14.99, is that?
$14.99.
Man. Because they had them out like last year and they were like just like the like individual bars or whatever. And it was good. I would totally do that again. But I'm not going to pay $15 for it.
Yeah, no.
So if it was like $15 for like a multi-pack and a big multi-pack, I'd be down for that.
I mean, how many ounces did you say the candy bar
six
was?
6 ounces.
That's a tiny candy bar.
And maybe like high quality chocolate, like Ghirardelli or something.
It's shaped like Reptar, but big deal. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that just feels very expensive for what you're getting. I could buy a whole lot of chocolate for $15.
Right?
Yeah. It won't turn my tongue colors.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Your teeth and you're just a mess.
So, all right. All right. So that's gonna tie up gut reaction. We're gonna skip a couple things because there are a couple other things that I definitely want to make sure that we get to, and we are starting to run low on time.
That's because we keep getting sidetracked.
I know, and we all keep getting shamed. Keep getting shamed.
You deserve them.
I don't doubt it. So we all got a chance to read Water Snakes from Lion Forge. It came out in comic book shops yesterday, and it'll be in bookstores on November 20th. Water Snakes, it was written and illustrated by Tony Sandoval. And it's the story of Mila, who's a solitary teenager, ready to be done with another boring summer vacation. But then she meets Agnes, who is an adventurous girl who turns out to be a ghost. And not just a regular ghost, but one carrying the essence of an ancient fallen king and a mouthful of teeth that used to be his guardian warriors. I loved this story. I loved the art of this story. It took me a little bit to figure out what was going on, and like in real talk, when it was revealed that Agnes is a ghost, like I was like my jaw kind of dropped. I was like, wait, what? Like I had to like I even went back a couple pages just to kind of like, were there any hints leading to that? Like, what? What? But overall, I really enjoyed it. What did you guys think?
This was dark and weird and twisty and not at all what I was expecting it to be, and I really liked it.
So I'm going to be the Debbie Downer here. I was so freaking confused. I was weirded out. I had no idea what was going on. And what is the weird obsession with touching the teeth?
She felt like they were special.
Okay, I get that she knew that they were special, but I know there's a lot going on, but I feel like there's a huge metaphor there that I completely missed.
I mean, it was a little uncomfortable when she was like standing like there and her teeth were going like, on their nightly
leaving?
Visit, and
that
I was like,
bizarre.
"Oh, ow, my mouth hurts."
Matt, what did you think?
You know, there were definitely parts of this which I loved. There were parts of this where I'm like, I feel like this is being weird just for weird's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's kind of like with horror movies for me. Like, I don't need gory horror movies just for the sake of gore. I don't need things to be weird just for the sake of being weird. Like, if it has a point or a purpose, I get it. That's like the teeth kind of thing. It was weird, but I didn't really understand why the teeth. I mean, I definitely really enjoyed the illusion of the octopus and that god king to mm-hmm. Cthulhu, because mm-hmm. that's just my jam there. But aside from that, it kind of lost me. There were parts of the art that I absolutely loved, particularly in the landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
Like the very beginning and how it like it starts out as her eye and then it just like keeps going in, like zooming in, and you're in a landscape and you're underwater. And like that was super cool. Like the characters, not quite a huge fan of the art style for the characters, but you get some, you lose some. But yeah, I definitely very interesting from beginning to end.
So, but yeah, like I said, Water Snakes, you can find it in comic shops now or bookstores November 20th. So, check it out. Vault Comics announced their first slate of titles for their new Myriad label, which is directed towards younger readers. There are three books. The first one is Rassel Castle. It's written by Paul Tobin and Colleen Hoover, and the artist will be for that will be announced at a later date. Rassel Castle is centers around Lydia Riverthane, who has always wanted to join Rassel Castle, but due to her parents' disapproval, has been forced to secretly train in the forest. Her three best friends, Chelsea, Deandra, and Lyle, a.k.a. the Underground Alibi Society, help her by providing cover stories when needed. Lydia also secretly trains with her brother, John Gatorchomp, a high-ranking wrestling instructor. Lydia idolizes her brother until he's arrested for stealing one of the legendary wrestling folios. A crime he did commit, but why? So.
I want to read this.
I think it sounds cute.
Yeah. It does. Mm-hmm. And I wonder why you want to read this, Lydia.
To be fair, I don't get a lot of characters with my name. So that's true. That's one draw, but the rest of that just sounds adorable.
See, you like it when it happens. I hate it when it happens because it's always a cat or a witch.
It's
a freaking cat man. Everybody always names their cats Tabitha. It's real obnoxious.
So. I usually get like really strange people, which I'm okay with.
I just get cats and witches.
To be fair, if cats were people, cats would be kind of weird people.
That doesn't make me feel better, Mitch.
So, Bonding is written by Matthew Ehrman with art by Emily Pearson. It's about a man, a woman, and their parasites.
I really hope that just means children.
Wow. Marcus has been alone since the loss of his closest friend and has just recently entered the dating scene, while Laura has drifted in and out of relationships since high school. They meet and strike up a good rapport, learning about each other, friendship, and how to deal with the slug-like parasites that have infected humanity.
Nope, not kids.
That he literally just said slug-like parasites have invaded humanity. What do you think kids are?
So,
read between the lines, Matt.
She ain't wrong.
We are horrible people.
So the last one is called Unfinished Corner, and written by Danny Coleman, and it's centers around Jewish mythology that says that when God created the universe, he left a tiny corner of it unfinished. Opinion is divided on why, but everyone agrees that the unfinished corner is a dangerous place full of monsters. 12-year-old Miriam neither knows nor cares about the unfinished corner. She's too busy preparing for her bat mitzvah, wrestling with whether or not she either even wants to be Jewish, until an angel appears, whisking her and her best friends Avi and David off to this crazy and monstrous land with a single mission, finish the unfinished corner. That one I'm most excited about, I think, of the three. That just sounds like a fun and adventurous... Yeah. You know.
I like that idea.
So, no dates on any of these, just that they will be coming out between 2019 and 2020. So,
nice.
Yeah. All right, so we've got time for... I want to do one more story. Do we want to talk about Fortnite teaming up with the NFL? Which will be the third week in a row for a Fortnite story.
Do we need a news desk for Fortnite now?
Maybe.
It can go halvesies with my Lin-Manuel Miranda desk.
That doesn't seem fair to Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No.
We want to talk about...
He shines above all.
We want to talk about that. Idris Elba being people's sexiest man alive. Or I noticed Tabitha already had it up and ready to go.
Oh. Wow. It took me a second and then I realized what he said.
I didn't mean for that to happen. That's the one we're going with. Let's go ahead and talk about this.
No, I don't want to. Also, Idris Elba becoming sexiest man alive is not news. We all knew that. Just because you printed it in a magazine, people, doesn't make it more true. Anyway.
What I have learned is a lot of people don't know how to pronounce his name, including him.
Yeah. Idris. The hell's an Idris? Just asking.
Yeah.
Don't insult the man. He's on my calendar this month. My friend made me a calendar with a bunch of men I find attractive, and he's so November. Anyway.
Okay.
Don't ask.
We didn't. We freely gave that information.
Just want to keep you guys informed. The author of Bigfoot Erotica, Denver Riggleman, which is a wonderful name.
Riggleman?
Riggleman, you better write erotica. Right? That last name.
He was born for it.
Yes. He has become a U.S. congressman in Virginia, because where else?
It's kind of squatchy back there, so...
I hate you. His book is called The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him. He became famous kind of on the internet back in the summer because the art of the cover got released online. It's basically a big, buff, muscly, abdomened out Sasquatch with a censored bar over his Bigfoot hood.
Big feet, big.
Also, the opponent that he was running against, her name was Leslie Cockburn.
That is amazing!
You guys are welcome.
So, why do women want Bigfoot?
Do you want me to read the book? Because I'm not really super into that, but I guess I can if you want me to. If you buy me a copy.
I mean, I guess at that point I could just read it myself.
Merry Christmas.
No?
I don't feel like a book featuring a picture of Bigfoot's junk on the cover would make for a very good coffee table book.
Like, zoological, like, erotica is, like, a whole genre. Like, it's an actual thing. Like, it's a thing. I don't like that it's a thing.
Not like my boyfriend is a bear.
No. Like,
please stop
like,
saying thing.
I quit. I'm going home. Bye, guys. I'll walk home in the snow.
So I wonder how many votes he got because of the fact that he's the author of this book.
I mean, I would have voted for him based on name alone. Like, Denver Riggleman? Alright.
I feel so you. So, what part of Congress was he voted into?
Couldn't tell you. I didn't look that deep into this. I just got real excited about the cover of the book. No, I should have played that. I'm gonna stop talking.
You looked real deep, huh?
Oh!
To answer your question, U.S. House of Representatives, Virginia's 5th Congressional District seat.
Okay. I was worried. I was, like, ready for whatever you were about to say, and I was, like, prepared.
I thought I was getting another one.
Also, his opponent's name is Leslie Cockburn. I can't get over it. Like, I can't get past that. Like, I can't let it go. I want to move to Virginia, except not really, because Appalachia is weird.
Obviously. You have people that write these books and then end up in Congress.
Welcome to Virginia. Ding, 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 ding.
What gets me the most about this is that when I went to Seattle a couple months ago, like, they were all about Bigfoot there.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere that there are woods, there is Bigfoot stories. I mean, my hometown has a Bigfoot story. Like,
there's a couple, actually, from Springfield, too.
That doesn't surprise me.
There are Bigfoot stories.
There might be a database of Bigfoot stories online.
I'll have to look that up.
You would know that.
Be careful which folder you open. You might find something you don't want.
Maybe written by Denver Riggleman.
So that's all the time we have for this episode of the Geekaway Kids. I feel like I had to say this the last time that this episode was brought to you by LodgeCon. I'm sorry, LodgeCon. LodgeCon will be held February 9th and 10th at the Will County Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where we'll be posting news throughout the week. While you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. Also, Matt and I will be back Monday to review the newest episode of Doctor Who in the Geek Awakens Presents, Traveling the Universe. Finally, be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From all of us at the Geek Awakens, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next week. Everybody, say bye.
Bye! Bye.